Hello to all of our listeners. I am Mary Rankin, Director of Sustainability at Iowa State University, and also the Sustainability Coordinator for the City of Ames. We've had a wonderful diversity of voices that we have heard today, all in appreciation of Earth Day, all the amazing things that we in our community do to take care of the planet, and the vision we have of moving forward. And I am joined now by a graduate student at Iowa State University who is really taking such an innovative and interesting approach to our look forward related to how we interact with the space around us. So it's very wonderful to welcome Hannah Bartle to the program. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
So Hannah, first of all, could you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself, your year, your major, hometown, just to get to know you a little bit more.
Sure. Yep. So I am from Iowa City. So I am from Iowa. I'm wrapping up my second year in the Masters of Architecture program at the College of Design. And I've also been, and this is actually more related to the topic we're going to talk about. I have one class left for my master's in interior design as well. So that's what my thesis is connected to.
So busy, so many things to do. And I might add for our listeners that I am so honored that Hannah is also a member of the Live Green leadership team. This is her second year, and we've got another year of her amazing talent and skill. And on my team, she's actually serving as sustainability coordinator, meaning that she really controls, well, not controls, but knows and understands half of my brain at least, and acts as my right hand, but also some days just the whole right side of my being. Hannah oversees so much of the mentoring given to all of our intern teams, and you will see her skill and creativity in our website posting, on our websites, also through our social media platforms, our newsletter, at our events. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So it's wonderful to be able to talk about the great work that Hannah's looking at embarking on. Okay, so Hannah, you're working on your thesis currently, as you mentioned, and the focus of your research, you have really framed in a recent poster presentation you have done as bridging Instagrammable moments to interior design. Can you tell our listeners more about this connection and really what resonated in this area that made you want to make it into a thesis?
Sure. So this topic, it stems from kind of a long-term interest that I've had in installation art. And how this type of art has been combined more recently with interior design to create experiential spaces. I focus specifically on selfie museums, which I'll get into a little bit later. So selfie museums are kind of a newer phenomenon. So they've kind of been a result of selfie and social media culture. In a nutshell, they are spaces that have been developed to provide visitors with a variety of interactive rooms that can ultimately serve as, you know, a backdrop for people to share on social media for their pictures for social media. So my research is looking at the user experience of these spaces, how people are implementing them on social media, and whether or not there were certain design elements that were shared more than others. But on a personal level, I also pursued this topic because I wanted to visit all of these museums for research. But unfortunately, the timeline kind of ended up during COVID, so I actually wasn't able to do that in the end. But it's still been very exciting otherwise.
It sounds very exciting, very intriguing. And every time we talk about this, I just learn more and more. So, okay, so really interested in looking at the, you know, the selfie museums, I guess you talked about. But first of all, let's back up just a second, because certainly I think all of our listeners have heard a lot about interior design. but you really talk, you know, in your poster that you put together a lot about immersive design. What's the difference?
Right. I would say that the key difference between the two is the level of interactivity in the space. But I do think that also the terms can be kind of interchangeable. So interior design to me is more of a general term. But then immersive design is more descriptive in terms of it suggests a certain level of experiential elements in the space.
Sure. So that then I think gets to where we would expect that we would encounter immersive design. So I'm guessing that we go into spaces, we have the opportunity to interact. So that's where the immersion part is. But can you also talk about, for the average person, as we are in and about interacting, how would they know an immersive versus a non-immersive design area as they may encounter it? What would be the key pieces of that, I guess?
Yeah. So first I can talk about, you know, kind of where you might see these types of spaces. So we are starting to see these immersive or experiential design spaces occur in, say, the entertainment industry, hospitality, and also retail type environments. And I think that's kind of a reflection of the extra dimension that social media has added to our lives, and how our environments have needed to adjust to this culture. For example, retail stores, and obviously this last year has been even more intense in this situation, but they've been experiencing lower traffic numbers because of online shopping. And now with COVID, it's even lower. But what we're starting to see are interactive elements being put into the stores to drive traffic. And with that traffic comes social media posts. So that's basically free advertising for companies. So in the last 10 years, consumers have become more experience driven. And I talk about that in my poster, but it's just, there's been a drastic spike and people are spending more money on experiences. So you could argue that this is for the sake of sharing on social media or for other reasons, such as just general cultural shifts, probably. But now in terms of whether it's pretty apparent, I would say, yes, it should be pretty apparent. A lot of times these spaces are pretty over the top with a lot of color, a lot of lighting effects, bold graphics, and so on, but not always. You might see, for example, going back to the retail example, you might see just really, what am I thinking of? Most recently, I saw a post about Dick's Sporting Goods. They're actually going to be opening what they're calling an experiential store soon. And it has just all of these different ways that people can utilize their products and test things out, things like having a climbing wall and other types of, you know, sporting activities in the store. So it's really also kind of a way for people to test out products too. So there's different ways, but it should be pretty apparent, I believe.
Well, that's so interesting, you know, because I think when you initially think about spaces that we are meant to interact with, my mind, obviously, as I said earlier, immediately goes to the education awareness. So the museums and those sorts mm-hmm. of things, the conservation education centers where you've got the hands-on pieces, you've got the, you know, you're taking the surveys, you're pushing the buttons, you know, on the different displays and stuff. And so this is pretty fascinating that this is becoming really a competitive edge, right, for mm-hmm. For consumer products. Okay, so let's talk now about spaces being Instagrammable, and I guess that leads to your mention of selfie spaces, selfie areas. Tell us more about that connection to your thesis. How is Instagram such an important part of the research that you have done?
Right. So my research, it hinges on the idea that people share things that they like or are attracted to on social media. So my process used public Instagram posts that were located within these museums to analyze the design elements within these photos. So I had a certain selection criteria for the five museums that I was analyzing, many being that they were long-term entities and not a pop-up. And then I also had selection criteria for the photos, all of which were from within the same time period. And I picked up to 100 photos per museum. So I took these 500 photos and analyzed the different design features that were within them. And this included lighting, color, texture, graphics, form, and props.
That sounds pretty fun. So you got to take mini virtual tours.
Yeah.
And to your point, I think that it is really interesting that during these times of COVID precautions and, you know, us not taking the same opportunities and in many cases having the same opportunities to really get out and physically be in a space, this is really quite a unique strategy to have people still come to spaces to still acquire products, even though they may not be in person acquiring them. So what an interesting sort of, attention to the shiny object kind of effect. Okay, so you mentioned your different criteria and what you were looking at specifically. Did you have a hypothesis when you started this?
I don't know specifically if I had. I feel like hypothesis is kind of a difficult word. I think I just had kind of a research goal, which I think could be considered a hypothesis. So my research goal was to have a better understanding of what people responded to in the built environment. And so from the process that I just described with the 500 photos, I was able to come up with quantitative data from very qualitative content. So this allowed me to explain the visual elements shown in each museum through graphs, as well as I developed floor plans for each museum that showed each of the zones that were being shared on social media. And then I visually showed concentration of shares. So like which spaces are being shared more on Instagram or which were more popular, just to kind of add a little bit more information with the data that I was working with.
Wow, that sounds like such valuable information. First of all, tell us about your primary findings. What stuck out to you? What information would you share with some of these museums and spaces that you looked at?
Right. So overall, and I don't know that I necessarily came up with like a final, you know, aha, this is the solution in the end. But overall, my results showed that color and props played a big role in the photos that were being analyzed, which I would say is not incredibly surprising, given that the spaces have the intention of being very bold and interactive. However, it was interesting that there were a variety of approaches taken in the designs of the museum. So for example, one of the museums relied entirely on projection art. So for example, when I was looking at the data, that example had the numbers for props were almost nothing. While there was another museum that had was an effort entirely by local artists to develop this storyline that became kind of a choose your own adventure experience. So from the social media aspect, the outcome was the same. I think it tells us that as long as the experience is unique and creative, users will find a way to make it successful on social media on their own.
So I think that is such an interesting point. Definitely the creativity and the hook, if you will, is in the eye of the beholder, right? So you're looking at those wow moments, I think. Is that an effective way of putting it? The wow moments that really resonate, really stand out to individuals to make them mention it to somebody else, to say, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. You've got to go check out this site. You've got to go look in this store. And just, you know, sort of getting people into that immersive environment. Is that fair to say?
I would say so. I think there's not necessarily a formula for how to create these spaces. I think that, it just kind of depends on who your audience is. But I also think that people are looking for these experiences. So I think regardless of what you do, people are going to come. So as long as it's interesting, it'll work.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, well, I'm definitely interested, first of all, in your thoughts on, you know, the application of this research, where it can go from here. Because it seems to me as though, as so many different conversations that, you know, I've had with people and experiences that I've had myself, is that precautions for COVID, there have been many really great lessons learned and aha moments that I think will carry forward. And it seems like something like this really allows a really great connection and support and, you know, furthering of the mission of different organizations virtually as well as in person, you know, so really allowing them to have a competitive edge in a couple of different ways. But what do you see as far as applications of your research? Where would you like it? Where would you like to see different pieces continuing as well? Or you're interested in pursuing further?
Right. So first of all, when I started this research, this was not really being talked about much at all. So I started this, I think probably about 2.5 years ago. It's been a while. It's kind of been drawn out. But so when you are doing this kind of research, you start out with like a literature review. So that process for me was incredibly difficult because there was almost zero precedent information to go off of. So no one was really talking about this. But now, a couple of years later, this concept is definitely starting to gain traction, especially in the entertainment type design environments, which is really exciting. So what I hope comes from this topic is that it will become similar to the understanding of well-being in the built environment, which is also becoming increasingly important. It's now very much understood as part of sustainable design. But 5 to 10 years ago, it was much less talked about. So what I hope is that designers will begin to consider cultural shifts, the cultural shifts that social media has created, and start to develop environments that are not only beautiful and healthy, but also stimulating for the mind and exciting on a social level. Also, as for how it will impact the average person, what I think will happen is we will start to see more over-the-top environments, more public art, that's another part of this, and also just more hands-on and experiential spaces that will capture the user's attention in a dramatic way. But of course, this might be a little bit slower in transitioning just because of how COVID is right now, you know, trying to figure out how do we create, you know, hands-on experiences. It's going to be a little bit different, but I hope eventually we'll see that.
Well, I am really excited to see where this goes. I know that before you mentioned it to me when you started working on the team, I had no idea of the, you know, the impact, the potential, and really, you know, learning from these moments where we have had disconnection, especially during COVID, of how we can still stay connected in a unique way, although not in person. And to your point, I think there's such a great opportunity to consider social sustainability in these spaces. Obviously, there's a, you know, there's an economic sustainability component of being a business and, you know, and ensuring a sustainable business, but really considering the health and welfare of all of those that you depend upon and that you really hope you can make connections with is, I mean, it is really progressive. It is very visionary. And I think it's such an important and vital part of a collective sustainable future, you know, for all of us. So Hannah, it has been really great talking to you today. I know you still have a year left and I don't know, I'm still hoping maybe you'll go for 2 or 3 PhDs that require you allow you to remain with my team. But of course, I know you have to move beyond. What is your vision? What are your future goals? What is on your radar of I am excited to go out and grab that adventure?
Right. So, well, as you mentioned, I have another year left. And in the next few months, I need to finish writing my thesis. That's kind of my big thing on my plate right now. But I guess for after graduation and when I'm done, hopefully, I mean, my goals would be, working for some type of firm that does hospitality or entertainment design. You know, I'd really love to be able to apply these kinds of, design practices as much as possible. Public art is a really great way to do that as well. And I, you know, that's something that I'm seeing. I've been keeping my eye on some firms, so it's something that I'm seeing come up as well, is that public art element. So I'm not trying to get too hopeful of what exactly, I'm not trying to determine what I'm doing too soon. But hopefully something, an opportunity like that will come up for me. So we'll see.
Well, I know I join our listeners in saying we can't wait to see where you go and where this vision takes you. And certainly I look forward to staying in contact and having you back on KHOI to talk more about the great things that you're doing. Well, Hannah Bartle, lovely to have you join us again. Thank you for our listeners. I've been joined by Hannah Bartle, who is a graduate student at Iowa State University, pursuing really interesting graduate work related to bridging Instagrammable moments to interior design. And Hannah is also my fabulous sustainability coordinator for the Live Green Initiative at Iowa State University. Hannah, thank you again. Thanks for doing all the great work and all of your great dedication. And to all of our listeners, happy, happy Earth Month.